Ahoy, welcome to a brand new episode of Baffled. My name is Dan, it's your favourite fact podcast here in your ears. I got three for you this week about spirits, about experiments, and about uprisings. Mark is also here.
You know I love boiling it down to three simple words. This week, whales, accordions, penguins.
Connor is also here, what do you got?
We're going to talk about celebrities, what they used to be. Something about a singer-songwriter that kind of blew my mind. And Sweden's left party.
Oh, Connor gets political. I'm very, very worried for the person that's got to edit this. Very, very, very worried for who has to deal with the legal ramifications of this. But stick around, it'll be fun to hear. It's a brand new episode of Baffled.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Connor, why are you getting political?
Because it's just so relatable for me. I'm backing their views. I'm here for it. I'm like, yes, absolutely. But it'll all come to terms soon. You understand what I'm talking about.
Mark, you got three words.
Yeah, whales, accordions, penguins.
Yeah, sure.
Which, in fairness, sounds like last Saturday night.
For you? For you, yeah. Just describe to me how a night involving whales, accordions, and penguins would work.
I don't want to ruin all the fun for everyone, because we know that everyone loves to imagine exactly what our Saturday nights are like. However, all I will say, I'll add one more word into that mix, and that word is beer.
I don't even know what the middle word is.
Accordions?
Wait, hang on.
You're going to learn more than you think today, then.
Just 1 second. What do you think an accordion is?
A type of nut.
You've got to be
spot on. In fairness, the accordion nut.
You're
famously a little less tasty than the macadamia. But
okay, so accordion to me is either a type of nut or an instrument in the maybe in the family of violins.
Right.
So you're closer. You're getting closer. It is an instrument.
Accordion is like a squeeze box. An accordion is a bit like a squeeze box. You go. Anyway, we're going to find that out. Let me take you through the first fact of the show. You know the phrase knock on wood?
Yeah.
You got to
knock on wood.
Yeah.
People
used to believe, why you knock on wood is because people used to believe that mischievous spirits, ghosts, pixies lived in the wood. So when they were talking about good news and good luck, they would knock on the wood to try and get the spirits and pixies out so that they wouldn't try and affect their good fortune. That's why you knock on wood. That's why when people say, touch wood. It's so you're trying to banish the pixies and spirits and ghosts from the wood so they won't impact your good luck.
There we go. This is a type of fact that I love. When you find out things about things you do day to day, and I do always do the touch wood. I always do it. Touch wood. It's one of those things that I do.
Will you remember it though? Will you remember next time that you touch? Of course you touch wood. Of course, you are the type of person that does all that superstitious stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I don't walk under ladders. Don't walk over 3 drains. I'm a hypochondriac as well, so everything just gets in my mind.
We were having this discussion this morning in the Baffled office.
Sure.
Because today, spoiler for people, today is the first of the month, right? That's right, we recorded this ahead of time. So today is the first of the month. Apparently, the first thing you're meant to say when it's first of the month is white rabbits.
No.
Apparently, it brings you luck for the month.
Doesn't.
Absolutely. I have never done that in my life. I am still here. I would say I'm living a good life. I mean, sure, it could be better. But I don't think saying white rabbits on the first of the month is what's held me back so far.
Do you know what separates you from Ryan Gosling?
Is it the fact that he says white rabbits on the first of every month?
Big time.
Knew it.
Just
knew
imagine it. A world, Connor, where Mark Heads had said the word white rabbits to himself every morning throughout his 27, 8, 9 years of life. And he would be the one singing along with Emma Stone in California, doing the old La La Land. Would that be a world that you want to live in where Mark Heads is the biggest Hollywood starlet?
It would probably be a shame, wouldn't it? But I think it is a good example for other people that are a little bit underprivileged.
I don't think he's underprivileged.
He lives
on a huge farm,
you know,
somewhere.
I had all the animals in space and I wouldn't say he's underprivileged.
Mate, your local mayor was a cow. Come on. It could have been better.
Yeah, true story.
What's the most?
All the bits that are false.
What's the most superstitious thing that you do, Connor?
Most superstitious thing that I do.
The three drains.
I touch wood all the time, and I don't. I can't cross on the stairs. I'm really a sucker for all that stuff.
You touch
proper sucker.
You touch wood, but I asked about what superstitious things you do, Connor.
Hey,
come on.
Hey. Simple jokes are the best. You know what annoys me? People who go touch wood, look around, can't see any wood. Touch their head. There is, and I don't say this lightly, it's a special place in hell for those people.
Yep.
He could have wood in his head.
I mean, yeah, he could do it.
Yeah. A nice bit of MDF.
I'm hollow.
The three drains thing's an interesting one. Where did you pick that up from?
I think it's just that, is it step over three cracks, break your mama's back or something like that? Mate, does that exist?
What you do when you're touching your own wood is your own thing. I don't know what you're doing to your mum's back.
Yeah, yeah. So what I usually do is I grab me wood and I avoid the cracks.
You don't need to wink and make the noise. I get the
Everyone
joke.
Everyone got it. Everyone got that joke.
I get the joke. We can even put that in as a little bit of post-production. We can even put that in after we edit. Why do we call it Knock on Wood, Connor?
Because of the pixies that could be in there. Get rid of them.
What's your first fact of the show, Mark?
Let me pose you a question.
Sure. What's an accordion?
What's an accordion? No. How would you clear a dead whale from a beach?
That is something I hope I never have to do.
It'd be like a sort of a crane situation type thing, wouldn't it?
I would hope there's a much easier way of doing it, which is why this fact is a thing. Maybe it's kind of like a, you know, when you're trying to get the duvet in your bedding and you're one end, you're flipping it up and down. Maybe it's a bit of that.
It's not.
Yeah.
Let me take you back to 1970. A 45-foot long sperm whale washed ashore on the central Oregon coast. The weight of the unfortunately dead whale was estimated at 8 tons. Now, at this point, Oregon beaches were looked after by the people who looked after the roads. And they chatted to the Navy and they went, how do we remove a dead whale?
It's a good question.
Dynamite.
Oh, well, you're removing it into many different parts.
So,
but then you've got
it's still
dead
there.
Whale exploding
so,
everywhere.
Here is the thought process. When the whale explodes, it goes into tiny little pieces, which then scavengers will come and eat and will clear up for you. And then most of that will go, then you can clear up the rest of it. That's the plan. However, I take you back to the comment I said a moment ago. Oregon beaches were under the jurisdiction of the people who looked after the roads, the highway division. They don't have a lot of experience in this. So they decided, okay, we've been told we need dynamite. Let's go and buy 450 kilograms of dynamite.
Right.
A military veteran who was there went, that's far too much, mate. You probably need about 20 sticks. About 4 kilograms of dynamite. They ignored this and went, 450 will do the job then, won't it? They exploded the whale and the surrounding areas basically got rained on with whale. Car parks, houses, gardens, people out walking the dog. Just dead whale blowing all down onto them.
Connor, before you say anything.
It's really an experience, isn't it, when Mark explains a fact. You feel like he's narrating an old, like, kids book to you. You know, just before you go to bed, it's like, you feel like you entered this whole new world.
I do feel like Frodo and Samwise had made their way to Mordor and back in that time. Now, I was going to mention this. That was a long... Like, I don't think we needed the other characters that got involved. I don't think you needed that. I didn't need the subplots. Didn't need all of that. All you could have done, they wanted to blow it up with dynamite. Ooh. They realised they had way too much. They went through with it anyway. How did they then clean up that mess?
So here's the thing.
Dan.
That's interesting.
Dan, are you sure?
Yeah, I want to know.
They then basically just go around and just scrape up dead whale from everywhere.
Yeah.
They're actually, the dynamite, because there was so much of it, didn't even do the job effectively. There was still so much whale left on the beach.
Mark.
Yes.
I've known you for a long while.
How
known you for a long while.
How,
I've known you for a long...
In this... Right, just one sec. How many of your things start with, oh, I've known you for a long while? In the scheme of things, you really haven't. A couple of years, oh, I've known you for a long while.
Well, I've known him long enough to know that...
You're not even in, like, the top 20 of people that I've known for lengths of time.
Yeah, I'm the one you want to keep contact with, mate. Trust me, we're going places over here.
Sure. Yeah, come on. Yeah,
what's your point? Get to your point. This is taking longer than my bloody story is.
I've known you. But,
yeah, we've done this bit. Come on, next bit.
I never knew that you were that shitty explaining things that you could literally bore the soul out of the most happiest person in the world with explaining something so simple. I'm lost. I'm taken apart.
Sorry,
here was me thinking that Connor would love a story about a whale exploding.
Well, I love the story. I just need to flat. So and I don't want to rag on you, Con. Do you seriously think you're the happiest person in the world?
I mean, that was also my thought.
Oh, no, not me. As in, he could
be the happiest person in the world.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
The best bit for me is just the idea of a wow exploding, but God knows who's there. What people were involved in it, Mark?
Well, so the reason that I told you, although you've gone on so long that this point won't even make the edit now because, you know, we've got to cut it down somehow. But the reason I told you about the military veteran is that his car got smashed into pieces by a falling bit of whale blubber. So he tried to tell him, no, it's too much. And then his car was the one that ended up getting damaged the most.
The problem is, I don't know enough about that man to care. Like, all I know about him is I know his name and that he said don't do it.
Don't even know his name.
Great. Beautiful storytelling there by Mark. Beginning, middle, and an end. And another beginning, another middle, and an end. And four more middles and a little subplot in there. Thank you very much. Connor, what's your first fact of the show?
Kanye West, before fame, used to work at Gap.
Great.
Are you joking?
What?
Is that the fact?
Hold on. So he worked in the customer services department at Gap. He raps about it in one of his songs. The biggest thing that he suffered with when he worked in the customer services department at Gap is, think about Kanye. Think about what Kanye's like. Think about what Kanye raps about. He used to do that at customer services at Gap. He would rant to everybody on the phone about all of the things going on in the world that he doesn't agree with, as opposed to dealing with their actual problems.
So, I mean, we could give an Nigel for this.
I mean, the fact is essentially, who didn't become a singer until a little bit later had a job beforehand in order to get money and live a life.
So, there you go. The fact is not great. I'll tell you why. The first part of the fact is exactly what Mark said. Person gets job is not fact. The second part of the fact is, bullshit. There is no way that he's rapping on the phone to people on customer service. There's no way he's doing that. It's one of these things. It's one of these things that famous people do. He's making the myth of himself after it's happened because he wants to propagate his life.
No, yeah, he didn't rap on. He didn't just break in to, like, you know, it all falls down on the phone. He used to just be very, very controversial in his customer service years on the phone.
You know what?
To the point where he lost his job.
You know what? I didn't really have much respect for Kanye. I'm not a massive Kanye West fan.
No, neither.
But I'm even less of a fan now. If you're being paid to do a job for the Gap and you're spending your good time, their good money, moping about on the phone about how miserable your life is, I'm not having it. It's either bullshit or I don't like the guy.
All I was doing was ringing up to see whether I could still take my jeans back and you've given me a bloody rant about life and the world itself.
In that time,
you do get it, though, don't you, with customer service people? You know where you ring up and you just end up down a road that you definitely didn't want to be down? I think Kanye would be that guy. That was why it was interesting to me. Customer service, Kanye, that's the fun bit of the fact. You know, average person, Leonardo DiCaprio used to work at McDonald's, yeah, whatever. He had a job before he was famous. Kanye West, he's probably one of the most controversial celebrities in the world, does everything you don't want him to be doing. Customer service, I can't imagine you'd be any good at that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'll be honest. I've started thinking about exploding whales again.
I've started thinking about that nameless man whose car got jacked in.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you thought that was a good fact, boy, oh boy. Hang on. Connor, take your headphones off or turn your volume down very quickly. I'm going to make a promise to the listeners. Promise you can't hear me. I guarantee Connor will say something to the effect of, have a day off after this. That's all you need to know. It'll take a big breath. I mean, it's...
When he does, we get up, round of applause.
Okay.
You back? You can hear us?
Can you hear me?
Can hear you.
The longest running lab experiment started in 1927, and it measures how fast a certain type of liquid falls down a puddle. In those almost 100 years, Only 9 drops have fallen so far down the puddle. It proves that pitch, this liquid, isn't a solid, but it's a liquid 100 billion times more viscous than water. Thank you very much. What do you think about that, Connor?
You are kidding me, aren't you?
No, that's the fact.
Oh, mate. Fucking scientists. They just run out of things to do, don't they?
But this was back in 1927. So that they,
of course
they,
it was.
They,
well,
they were at the start of having things to do back then.
Yeah, says who?
What do you mean?
Why? What? So what are they doing with a puddle?
So they've put a liquid. Well, it's not a liquid. It is a liquid. It's called pitch. They've put it into a funnel, and they over the last 100 years, they've counted how many drops have fallen out of this, the bottom of the funnel, and only 9 have fallen out in almost 100 years.
It's very slow.
It's very, very slow. It's a liquid 100 billion times more viscous than water. What should these people do, Con?
Have a day off.
Thank you.
Why are you clapping like that?
I bet the listeners that at some point in this fact you would tell the scientists to have a day off. And I was right.
Oh, they all need to have a bloody day off. They need to take a step back and have a little think about the real world.
Mate, they haven't had a day off in 100 years just in case they miss a drop.
There you go.
Dan, I'm going to be honest with you, mate. I've got no idea what this fact is. What are they doing? What's viscous?
Viscous. Viscous is how thick something
viscous.
Is. Viscous is how thick a liquid is.
So you're quite viscous.
And what are they doing?
So they've put this liquid, it's called pitch. They've put this liquid into a big funnel. You know what a funnel is?
Yeah.
A little hole at the bottom. And over the last almost 100 years, they've left this liquid in that funnel and counted how many drops have fallen out of the bottle of it to try and see how thick it is. And only 9 drops have fallen in the last 100 years. So that's one a decade. It's the longest running experiment ever.
So basically what you're telling me is scientists have found thick substance.
It's a substance 100 billion times thicker than water.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you love that, right?
Yeah, you can't believe
you're going to be telling people that down the pub tonight, aren't you, over your Amstel top?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right, lads, you heard about this substance that's thicker than water? Mental. So 100 years thicker, whatever it is.
100 years thicker, that's exactly what it is.
You can't have a go at science because they're the reason that you fill up your car is because of scientists.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no, I'm here for the important stuff, but knowing that a substance is thick, pointless.
Well, thank you very much, and I win. Mark, what's your second fact of the show?
All teachers in North Korea are required to play the accordion.
Why?
So, the accordion is actually the most popular instrument in North Korea, and teachers have to be able to play it in order to get their teaching qualifications. The reason for this is because the accordion is much more portable than a grand piano, for example. So therefore, it's known as in Korea as the people's instrument because it can be taken outside and played anywhere.
Like a ukulele is easier though, right?
Yeah, I'd be honest with you. Accordion, not the first thing I think of when I think of a portable instrument. Maybe a recorder.
It's not even an instrument, it's a nut.
It is a nut, famously.
Why do they all have to be able to play? Is it because that helps with like learning and stuff like that by playing instruments? Or what's the necessity to play it? What does it do for the person, basically?
What do you mean, what does it do for the person?
It's an accordion. Why do they have to play it? You know, like they might say, oh, they've got to play the piano because there's a way of teaching where you sing. I don't know. I don't understand. What's the purpose?
So it's because every teacher in North Korea has to be able to teach music. So they have to be able to teach different stuff. So they have to be able to teach music.
Right.
Therefore, they have to know the accordion. Can't be any other instrument.
Got you.
Has to be the accordion.
That's so random. I'm with Dan here as well. But good fact. Really good fact. Really interesting. But you'd think that there would just be a simpler instrument. Accordion.
Yeah, also, when you think of instruments that... Like, the French and the accordion I can put together. Because they just kind of... If, like, you hear accordion music, you kind of go, oh, it's very French. I can imagine a French person doing that. I can't imagine North Korea and the accordion. The accordion is too jolly of an instrument for North Korea.
So this is the thing, this is the thing, isn't it? It's what's going on in North Korea. Like, you could say anything, and no one's going to know. It's eccentric AF. It's all mental. Who knows what's going on? No one's going to fact check it because you can't get in. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And the only people you know over here that play the accordion are the guys that do it on the street. That's the only time I ever see it.
And you know what? They're all North Korean.
They are all North Korean, yeah.
Connor, give us your second fact of the show.
Politics. Sweden's left party has campaigned to make men sit down when they have a wee.
I like... This is something I would not like to see happen here, because although I am a fan of government, if a government got involved and wanted to dictate how I need to wee, I think that's too much. That's too much bureaucracy here.
It does feel like a step too far.
And I like the choice. I love the choice. I love I can have a little stand-up slash. I love that I can have a sit-down pee.
The thing is, I think that if we had sit-down wees all the time, you lose the niceness of it.
Too much of a good thing.
Sometimes it's nice to be like, you know what? Oh, what a day. Yeah. I'm going to sit down and have a sit-down wee.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. You know, well, this one thing, yeah, we do agree on. Like many things, you know, it's like the World Cup, isn't it? They want a World Cup every 2 years. Don't need it.
It's nice having it every 4 years. It's nice having a sit-down wee once in a while.
Let me wait.
You feel like you've earned it.
I rarely stand up. I do sit down for most wees. I'm 80 to 90% sit-down weeing.
Is that because there is a 80 to 90% chance that because of your IBS, a little nug might come out too? I mean, you did tell us a couple of weeks back that, I mean, you weren't even sat on a loo and a nug came out. So is that the inherent risk that you go, it's just safer for a sit-down wee?
It's just so much more enjoyable. So much more enjoyable.
Yeah, but the reason it's enjoyable is because you do stand up some of the time.
You haven't asked me why they done this.
Oh, right, sorry. Why have they done this?
Why, Connor?
Why do you reckon?
To mess, probably, I would imagine, to make it less for people to clean up.
Well, yeah, it's just hygiene.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I mean, there is still the process of kind of getting a bit gammy because you've got to take your trousers down. You got to, you're holding onto the lid.
I think a sit down wee is elite. It allows you to. It's good for the mind. It's good for the soul. You know, if you fancy a you're ready to go. You can go on TikTok. It's brilliant.
Right. How is it good for your mind? What are you doing when you're having a sit down wee? One, how long are your wees here? And how are you getting any kind of mental work doing there? How are you doing any mindfulness when you're having like a 20 second wee?
I find sitting on a toilet just really therapeutic in every way. It's so comfortable. Everything's hanging. It's just lovely. So I'll take advantage of that the best I can. If it's a 20 second wee, so be it. If it's, you know, IBS after a curry, so be it.
Connor has IBS. Connor has IBS.
But it bloody well works when it comes out the other end.
I would like you to maybe mix it up a bit. So have a stand-up wee more often, and it will make you appreciate the sit-down wees. It's why we don't have Christmas every day. Once a year, it's all you need.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to A to Z of Men, a brand new podcast that helps explain, well, men. Each week, myself, Chris Brooks.
And me, Scott Robinson.
We take on a different letter of the alphabet.
What? In order?
Yeah, in order. We will find a word that best describes men that starts with that letter.
So it's basically like a guide?
Like a guide, yeah, that's correct.
Well, this will really help me explain myself to the wife.
We tackle topics such as mental health, stereotypes, and stupid things us men do.
Don't forget sex.
Oh, and sex. Plus, you can send in your words, stories, and, well, anything to A2Z, is the number two, A2Z of Men@gmail.com, or follow us on Instagram and TikTok at A2Z of Men.
So join us each Wednesday as we create the A to Z of Men.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Remember, you can always get in touch with the show. It's info@baffledpod.com. Hey! Maybe you have a sit down week. I don't want to hear that.
Send us a badge having a sit down week. No, send us a picture of you with a badge having a sit down week. Please don't actually.
Yeah, don't we on the badge.
No.
info@bafflepod.com. It's @bafflepod on Instagram and TikTok as well. And it's time for our third and final round of facts. Two Chinese officers were so annoyed at the punishment that they were given, they held an uprising. Now, that in itself isn't something, but let me tell you why. So, Chen Sheng and Wu Guang, they were army officers and they were late. Now, the harsh Qin laws at the time said that if you're late, you're executed.
I think we should bring that in for Baffled, just saying.
If you're late, you're executed. The thing is, also, if you lead an uprising, you're executed. They were so annoyed that the punishments for both were the same, they thought, f*** it, let's lead an uprising.
I mean, you might as well at that point. In for a penny, in for a pound. Whatever the Chinese currency
is. Yeah, they used the yen over there. They organised a band of 900 villagers to rebel against the government. Now, the way that they got these people involved was pretty amazing. They, I guess the Chinese at this time were big into their mysticism. So Chen Sheng wrote on a piece of silk, King Chen Sheng, and then put it in the belly of a fish. Right.
Yeah.
Then someone, one of his villagers, found the fish, opened it up, saw a message from the gods in there that said King Cheng Sheng, and then they all joined in on this uprising against the dynasty at the time.
I mean, if you found a message in a fish, Connor, would you follow it?
Absolutely.
See, sometimes you can't argue with messages in the middle of fish.
Maybe I didn't get into this too well, because this was quite a late one. Basically, they were stopped by flooding on their way back. The punishment for being late, execution, the same punishment as uprising. So they thought, you know what, as Mark said, in for a penny, in for a yen, let's go through with it. They didn't work, which is a shame, but still almost 1,000 people got involved, all because of the fact they were late.
Does that mean, though, that it went from 2 people being sentenced to death to 1,000 people being sentenced to death?
Don't know. Don't ask questions like that.
Okay, sorry. Sorry for thinking too logically.
God. What sort of research do you expect Dan to be doing over me. Here?
I know, right? We've
got a couple of paragraphs on Wikipedia, eh?
That's more than Connor's got written down for the whole show.
Mark, what's your last fact of the show?
In 2008, a penguin living in the Edinburgh Zoo was knighted.
This is the type of absurdity that I should like, but there's just something about it that rankles me.
A penguin was knighted, an actual animal.
Yes.
But here's the thing, so... Right. It's a type of absurdity that I should love. I'm kind of with Connor. I imagine he's thinking, like, have a day off. What are these people doing? But it's the type of thing that zoos do all the time. Just nonsense to get in the papers.
So the penguin is the mascot of the King of Norway's guard, which makes it a special figure for the country's military. And the knighting of this one, named Nils Olav III, was used as an opportunity to celebrate the relations between Norway and Scotland. The knighting went down so well in 2008 that 8 years later in 2016, he got promoted to Brigadier. Brigadier Penguin. Brigadier Nils Olav III, the Penguin.
Why is his name that anyway? Why is he the third?
I imagine that there was 2 more before him. I imagine that is how it works.
Has there been
other Dan Simpsons in your family?
One.
It's just so ridiculously pointless.
One before you or just
pointless.
One now?
Well, I don't really like this naming thing. Why name it after yourself? It's arrogant. There's so many names in the world. Just be a bit creative.
I'm fairly certain George Foreman's 4 sons are all called George Foreman.
More than 4. There's loads.
Yeah, more than 4.
There's loads.
There's loads of sons.
Yeah, and they're all called.
But that's because he's got a massive brand, isn't he? Yeah, I would do the same.
Well, if you did, you'd be an idiot. If you're using your kid,
everyone's George Foreman. Yeah. There's no confusion. Oh, do you George Foreman? No, I'm George Foreman Grill. Yeah, I sure am. Yeah, absolutely. Instead of like Greg Foreman, kind of throws it a little bit.
I don't think that people are so desperate to get grills that they're just expecting everyone to be called George Foreman. Like, it's not like you, oh, what's your name? George Foreman. Oh, are you his son? Yeah, I am. Oh, that's a good job because I want fatless chicken for dinner tonight.
Yeah, it's not like you're going, what grill shall I use? Oh, there's a Greg Foreman now. I'm not getting a George Foreman one. They haven't stayed true to the brand.
How many George Foremans are there? 9? Lovely. Yeah. I do want a grill tonight. Preposterous. It smacks of both arrogance and also it smacks of just a lack of creativity. The only time I'll let you off if it's a big family thing.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue that names have too much family in them anyway.
Yes.
Your last name. But I will let you off if you're, you know, Nils the Penguin the 7th, because every dad before you has been called Nils the Penguin. You need to ask yourself why your father's naming a human after a penguin, for one.
That's true.
But also, I'll let you off then. Connor, when you have kids, what are you going to call
him? Dylan Knight.
No, you're not. You're not going to call it Dylan.
Dylan?
You're not going to call it Dylan Knight.
I like the name Dylan.
We've said this before.
Dylan for a week.
I've said this before, yeah. And we'll say it again. Dylan Knight is the school bully.
That's why his name's Dylan Knight. He's got to be the... I'd rather him be that than be the one getting bullied. Actually, no, I don't want him to be a bully. That's a bad... I'll kill him if he's a bully.
That's quite bad, isn't it? That's quite bad.
Parenting from Connor Knight. New podcast coming soon.
It's interesting, actually. In this dynasty in China, you were ordered to death if you were late, if you had an uprising, or if you were a bully. Dylan Knight is the kid when you were in year 4 that had the Nike tick shaved into his hair. He was the one that came in year 3 when with an earring in.
Dylan Knight is the one who thought he was super cool when everyone thought it was just a dick.
Yeah, Dylan
the
Knight.
The eyebrow slit.
Yeah, Dylan Knight had an eyebrow slit. Don't call your kid Dylan Knight. If you're listening and your name's Dylan Knight, by the way, I'm
very sorry, but you should change it.
Yeah. Connor, give us your last fact of the show.
Dolly Parton wrote the legendary songs Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same day in one recording session.
Do you know what she was actually doing at the time? She was meant to be doing customer service for the Gap.
Yeah, she was. She was
running down the phone and the person at the other end said, my word, Joe, my word, Dolly. There are some lovely lyrics you got there. Don't be saying them to me when I'm trying to get my Gap hoodie. Why don't you write it in a song?
That's actually
us?
What Jolene is about. There was a woman called Jolene on the other end and the connection kept cutting out. Jolene! Jolene!
There we go. We can have hours of fun doing this.
Yeah, Jolene, 400 million streams. I Will Always Love You, 100 million. Both written in the same day. That is... I think that's phenomenal. But personally, I think that sort of stuff's ridiculous.
I also believe...
That's crazy.
That in the now age-old tradition on Baffled, that when you bring a song fact...
No, we're not saying it. I'm not having you sing I Will Always Love You, Connor.
Connor, you must now sing both Jolene and I Will Always Love You.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging on you, please don't take my hand. Is that the lyrics?
No.
Take my man, but close.
And I will always love you. It's a banger, isn't it? Both of them in 2 days. Sick.
There's an old joke that my dad used to say all the time. You've played the wrong notes, not necessarily in the right order. And you have absolutely done that. You've hit every note. I mean, nowhere where they're meant to be, but you have actually hit the notes.
Yeah.
There's something, isn't it?
I have hit the notes. I can sing. I am actually a bit of a singer. But come on, can we just leave this a minute? Both of those tracks in one day. You're just batting this off like you could both do it. That's right. Mental.
So, yes, it's very impressive. Two things here. Number one, it's always worth remembering that Dolly Parton wrote I Will Always Love You. Very few people know that. Yeah. I also really enjoyed how you took ownership over the fact that that was impressive. Like, personally, and I know my music, personally, 900 billion streams on Spotify is quite a good thing, just in case you didn't know. Personally, I think that's very good. I enjoyed that.
Here's my question. Comes in two parts. Number one, do we know that other people haven't just done something similar? Do we know that Queen didn't, you know, bash out 3 hits in a day?
Yeah, but no, that's not, you know, comparison is the thing of joy.
Secondly, is this not what she's paid for and is her job? Like, I get it's impressive.
Yeah,
right?
No, right. You can shut up here because
I think,
you are right, but it is hard.
I think you're clutching there. I think we're clutching, aren't we?
You're not just talking about, it's her job to write songs. She's written two of the most seminal works of art, as Connor has said, He happens to think that 900 billion shillings is a lot. I don't know if anyone else does, but he does, and I would agree. I would defer to his better knowledge here. They are fantastic songs. To write those two in a day is very impressive.
Okay, in which case, I pose you this. Do you not think she hasn't worked hard enough the rest of the time? If she managed to bash out two in a day...
What's she doing the other...
What's she done for the rest of her career?
I don't know.
Written the odd good one here or there. Yeah, whatever. Oh, you did two in a day. Clearly, you're resting on your laurels now.
I'll be honest.
Written the odd good one here and there. We've got 9 to 5. We've got Islands in the Stream.
9 to 5 written about her job at The Gap, of course.
That is what you are. Here you come again. Like, what are you talking about? Dolly Parton, she's been knocking out the hits for ages. I actually think she's quite fit as well. There's something about her, I don't know what it is.
I will be honest with you, dear listener. I did not think when we started this episode of Baffled Today, it would finish with Mark Heads digging out Dolly Parton. Didn't all believe that.
Sometimes you never know where life's going to take you.
Genuinely, only Mark would be like, it's just not good enough. It's just not quite good enough for me, okay?
I just feel like...
Two tracks in one day? Yeah, what did she do the rest of the time, mate?
I feel like clearly she peaked and just rested on, just like went, well, I've got an easy life from here on in. One day, 900 billion streams on Spotify. You know what Spotify is? You wait, dear listener. That's what she said back in the day.
When do you reckon you've peaked?
I haven't peaked yet.
No.
No, I'm going to peak in 4 years and 7 months from now.
Disneyland 2023, baby.
You know it. That's not 4 years away.
Thank you very much for listening to this brand new episode of Baffled for you. Mark Heads versus Dolly Parton. What have we learned? You know, make a sit down wee worth it. Don't rush it all at once. Have one every now and then, not 90% of the time. Also, did you know Kanye West worked in a Gap?
I did. Customer services.
It's amazing what people do to turn over some cash. And also, Dylan Knight, you're a bully. Thank you very much for listening. You can always get in touch with us at info@baffledpod.com. Say goodbye, Connor.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye.
I am also good saying goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.